Alex dropped his face to my neck and kissed the hollow part where the shoulder and the sensitive vein met. I closed my eyes, my hand flying to the desk behind me for support. I clutched the Paris dress in my fist.
"Do you ever feel so lonely? You're not sure people are real anymore?"
he asked. "All the time." I swallowed, adding, "The little prince was lonely, too."
"He was, and he died. All broken princes die at the end."
I shut him up with a kiss. Alex thought about dying, and I thought about how I'd do anything to keep him alive, even if it killed me. The notion only intensified the magnitude of the kiss when our mouths closed on one another. He dragged his lower lip along mine and brushed his nose on my cheek, slipping his tongue into my mouth and claiming it as his own. His tongue thrust between my lips again and again. I lifted my hands to cup his cheeks, deepening our kiss even more, and somewhere along the way I lost my balance because, before I knew it, my back was plastered across the desk with my legs wide open and him between them. We were all over the Paris dress and dozens of needles and threads.
"Bed," he barked into our kiss, "right now."
He yanked me up and threw me onto the bed like a rag doll. I laughed like a drunk, and he jumped right after me, making a huge splash in the covers like he was cannonballing into a pool. I scooted up until my back hit the headboard, and we were face to face. He grinned, advancing toward me on his hands and knees like an animal. We were still fully clothed. Hell, my shoes were still on, and I pressed my heeled boot to his chest in one last bid to stop him. I didn't even know why I bothered at this point. It was obvious I was going to give him whatever he wanted. Consequences be damned. He grabbed my ankle and brought my leg to his mouth, sliding my glittery blue pump off and pressing his lips to the base of my foot.
"How many leggings have you packed for this trip?"
"4."
"So you won't be needing these anymore."
He grabbed the fabric of my leggings between my legs roughly and tore them from my body. I yelped and tried pushing him away before my bare legs were exposed in front of him. I slid down the bed, trying to fight him, and he took both my arms and pinned them above my head, sliding over me so his groin was on mine, and his unmistakably hard shaft was digging deep between my thighs. His eyes blazed with so many emotions, I felt nauseated on his behalf. It made my stupid heart forgive him for acting so cruel and aloof all the time.
"Do you trust me?"
he asked. I nearly choked on a laugh. "Of course not."
"Fair enough. I'll rephrase. Do you think I'm a rapist?"
"Doubt it. It's too available for you to take by force."
"Serial killer?"
"You don't give enough of a shit about anyone to kill them." He paused, his mouth curving into a smirk.
"Close your eyes."
"Let go of my wrists first."
"No chance. It's a part of the process."
"And what process would that be?"
"The one where I make you come so hard you'll need a spine transplant because I'll turn you into goo."
I grinned despite my best intentions. I didn't think I'd ever smiled so much in my entire life as while on tour with Alex Winslow, which was insane considering he also made me so mad and frustrated in the same breath. Alex kissed a path down my collarbone, dirty, wet kisses full of hunger and promise. Dragging his teeth down the valley between my still-clothed breasts, he rubbed his thumb along the black silk of my dress, his other hand still pinning my arms above my head.
"How long does it usually take you to make a dress?"
He wouldn't dare. "No." My breath was shaky, my voice thick. I was delirious with need. "Don't you dare, Alex Winslow." He tore my precious silk dress, disposing it on the floor like I hadn't ridden my bike 8 miles each way every day to save money to buy the fabric, like I hadn't sewn it deep into the night. "You asshole!" But I never got to finish the word, because my panties found the same fate as my dress, and before I knew it, his head was between my legs and, oh my God. Confession time. No one had ever gone down on me before. I'd only had one sexual partner in high school, and like a lot of high school kids, he was pretty selfish in bed. I'd never given nor received oral sex, so I didn't know what the fuss was all about. That's why my eyes almost rolled out of their socket straight to the floor along with my tattered clothes the minute his hot, wet tongue pressed into my center and gave my slit a thorough, long lick. My pussy contracted so hard I nearly came on the spot. I closed my eyes, too embarrassed to look at what he was doing to me, and dragged the pillow from beside me, pressing it over my head to stifle the moans that followed every time he put his tongue at the base of my pussy and dragged it all the way up to my clit, flicking it gently with an arrogant asshole smile I could feel. I thrust my hips up, wanting more, and he pinned me down in response, growling,
"Open wider."
I did.
"One leg over my shoulder."
I clumsily raised my right leg and propped it against his broad shoulder, painfully aware of the fact he was still fully dressed, and I was so physically and mentally naked.
"Look at me."
I froze, exhaling all my anxiety into the fabric of the pillow. Shit, did I have to?
"Look at me."
Apparently, I did have to,
or I'll stop. "But before I do, I'll make sure you get to the edge before I yank you right back. Don't make me be cruel, Stardust."
Slowly, I slid the pillow down and peeked at him through the valley of my breasts. His eyes looked drunk and mean, a combination I never thought I'd find appealing. He stared at me as his tongue penetrated me hard, and I choked on a shaky breath. "Alex." He reached over and kneaded my right breast, his fingers rubbing my pebbled nipple and making me yelp. My legs started to tremble around his head, and that's when his tongue began mercilessly fucking me, like it was much more than a tongue. I clutched his gorgeous hair between my fingers, his tongue buried so deep inside me I could feel it filling me in ways I'd never been filled before. He looked so rough and male, his tattoos crawling from the edge of his henley, his locks mussed and wild, and his stubble making the insides of my thighs burn deliciously. I whimpered, clamping around his tongue, my butt cheeks so tense I couldn't breathe.
"Fuck yeah."
His voice was gruff and low as he grabbed my butt and hoisted me up, pushing me into his face, eating me like a starved man while deepening his tongue inside of me. I clinched around him again, and he let out a laugh. A laugh, like my body was an instrument for him, a tool, a toy. Like I was Tanya, and he knew all the notes by heart and strummed on my chords, producing the angriest, craziest song in the world. "I'm coming," I panted, feeling a ball of fire rushing down from my spine into my groin. I'd never felt this way, lit up like a Christmas tree, like my body was a bundle of sizzling nerves. Everywhere he touched, and he was roaming now, tingled and danced with electricity. But Alex only played by his own rules, and he was good at bending them, depending on his mood. Mid-orgasm, he decided to grab my hips, flip me over roughly, and press my cheek to the pillow. Snaking his arm under my stomach, he propped me up and kicked my legs open when I was on my knees. I was wide open and exposed now, and my instincts told me to close my legs and run for my life. Coincidentally, my instincts were dead the minute he put his hot, wet mouth to my clit from behind and started sucking on it ravenously. "Holy," I began when he thrust two fingers into me. The pressure of an orgasm was back in full swing, even though I'd just come. I swiveled my head around to watch him, getting a rush from the mere idea of him working me up like I was his only passion in life. But he grabbed me by the hair and turned my head back.
"Not so shy anymore, are we?"
His voice was muffled, and I felt the words inside my core. It made my want for him trickle right onto his tongue. I felt him moving behind me. My body began to spasm as he fingered and sucked me with his mouth, the new position allowing him to be deeper and rougher than before. And there was another thing that made it hotter than anything I'd ever done. The slight humiliation of having my butt wide open for him to see. I just found the whole thing out of this world hot. But that's what you get for messing with a rock star, right? Alex moved more quickly, more urgently, and I chanced another glance at him when he was busy biting my clit and inserting a third finger into me, my loud moans making him far too high to notice what I was doing. I found him thrusting into my bed, still in his jeans, dry-humping it to oblivion and back. I was so consumed by getting off, it hadn't once occurred to me he was in need of a release, too. "Alex," I whimpered when my legs finally gave in and I collapsed on the bed. He withdrew his fingers, pressing his mouth to my slit and sucking all my juices like it was water in the desert. I came hard on his face. It took me a few seconds to realize what country I was in, Russia, and what time it was, 1 in the morning, before I turned around to stare at him like he'd broken me. He was still in his jeans and shirt, his back to me, sitting at the edge of the bed and lacing the boots he must have kicked off when we started fooling around. I jumped and crawled on my knees all the way to him, placing a hand over each of his shoulders from behind. "That was..."
"I know,"
he finished for me, and I nuzzled his neck, smelling myself on his hot breath. Why was it such a turn-on? Because I was everywhere on him. He smelled of my sex and my lavender and rosemary shampoo. I put my lips to his jaw and sucked. "You need to stop completing my sentences for me."
"Why? I always get it right,"
he said dryly. I stood up and walked over to grab my bottle of water, taking a slow sip. I stared at him from the other side of the room. I was still naked. The bob of his throat told me he noticed. I didn't want him to leave, not before I got him off, too. His eyes raked over my body, sizing me up. When he opened his mouth again, the world faded, and he was the only thing clear enough to see.
"Don't start what you're too scared to finish," he said.
"A dare? I will finish, Alex, and so will you. A promise." I took a step toward him, feeling brave. He liked what he saw, and he had a hard-on the size of a salami to prove it. His glazed-over eyes warned me he needed nothing more than a few strokes to explode in delirious pleasure. I wanted to take him to the same place he'd taken me. I wanted to take him to heaven. "Do you make a habit of eating girls out for 40 minutes and leaving without any reciprocation?" His Adam's apple moved again, but his eyes remained cool and dark, scanning me coldly.
"I haven't eaten a girl out in a year,"
he admitted, his eyes traveling down to my core before he licked his already slick lips.
"And I never give without taking."
I sat beside him, not feeling half as weird as I should have, considering I was oh so very naked. "I'm more than willing to give." He grabbed the back of my neck and jerked me toward his face. I thought he was going to kiss me, but his mouth traveled past mine to my temple. He put his lips to my ear and hissed,
"Kiss my cock through my jeans, Stardust. Show me how hungry you are for it."
I erected my spine, waiting for him to fall down to the bed so I could straddle him. He didn't move from his spot. Reluctantly, I got down on my knees in front of him and prodded his legs to make myself some room.
"Told you I'll get you on your knees willingly, Bellamy."
I blushed. He used my last name as a weapon, and it worked. I didn't like to be called that. It was at that moment I decided to stop calling him Winslow. When my head was leveled with his groin, I put my lips to his zipper. I pressed close-mouthed kisses all over his groin, my pulse quickening in my neck. He didn't touch me. He didn't even look at me. In fact, if I didn't know any better, I'd think he'd turned on the TV behind me and was watching something mindless. The only proof he was with me in that moment was the way his chest moved above me with uneven breaths. I opened my mouth and licked his jeans, kissing his clothed groin eagerly, finding myself rocking back and forth. What was wrong with me? I'd never been that forward with a guy before. I wrapped my lips around his shaft and moved them up and down, tracing the size, width, and the curve of his penis. I could smell him, his penis, and that made me elated with need. The feeling confused me. I'd never wanted to go down on a guy before. I thought it was gross, maybe even dirty. And Alex wasn't even my boyfriend. He wasn't my anything.
"All right, that's enough of your cock tease. Take it out."
I undid his jeans, maybe a little too quickly because I heard him chuckling above my head.
"Put it in your mouth."
"I've never done it before," I muttered, more to justify it to myself the moment I screwed it up.
It's not rocket science.
Don't be crude.
Don't stall. You said you want to suck my cock. Now's as good a time as any.
I covered some of his shaft and sucked. Maybe half of it. There was still more skin I couldn't reach, so he took my hand and curled it around the base of his dick.
Squeeze.
I clutched it, and he closed his eyes, looking tortured. A beautiful prince giving in to the moment. It inspired me to squeeze even harder, sucking on his hot, silky flesh and moving my mouth up and down. He pushed inside me, slow at first, but steady enough so that his tip touched the back of my throat. I gagged, my eyes burning with tears. He grabbed my shoulder and yanked me on top of him so that he was lying on the bed and I was still sucking him off, naked but on top of him. His fingers grazed my damp slit again, and I purred into his cock, which made it jerk in my mouth. Rapture, euphoria, stars in my eyes. No one had ever told me sucking someone off could make you feel powerful rather than degraded. I felt like I owned Alex in that moment, and the feeling was priceless. I pumped my hips into his hand, wanting more, sucking him off eagerly. He grabbed the back of my head and changed the pace, going faster and deeper and so much rougher than I'd ever imagined it could be. He was propped up on one elbow watching me, and the position made his abs tense with every thrust he made into my mouth. He retrieved two fingers coated in my warm juices from my pussy and pinched my clit with them, playing with my arousal and rubbing it along my slit now. Ugh. I cried, which made Alex shut me up by driving even harder between my lips.
Remember, it's my turn to take. The only thing you should be giving right now is my spunk down your throat. Everything else is a bonus, and you're definitely not allowed to make demands.
Bossy jerk. Yet there was absolutely no way I could stop what I was doing. I felt him jerking inside my mouth, and he scooted up quickly to lean against the headboard, keeping my head on his crotch by fisting my hair.
Fuck yeah. Suck me good, Stardust. You're a natural.
Thanks, I guess. I did like the idea of taking control and being able to give him what he needed.
I'm coming.
It was a warning, which I appreciated, but I kept my lips firmly on his cock as he came in spurts. His cum was warm and salty, sticky, coating my tongue and teeth. I groaned, sucking every drop until Alex let out a deep sigh and dragged me by the hair to look up and sit on my knees. He looked nonchalant and unflustered as ever. Other than his cheeks stained in pink, he looked completely normal.
You swallowed yet?
He asked, patting his back pocket and producing a cigarette pack. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, only I could. It was classic Alex. I still had some of his cum in my mouth. It was too thick to swallow in one go. I shook my head.
Open your mouth,
he ordered. I did. He lit up a cigarette, no doubt taking a small pleasure in making me wait, then pushed my bottom lip with his thumb, cigarette in mouth, and watched his cum drip from my lower lip to my chin. It was filthy and mortifying and hot. He swiped his index finger over my tongue and rubbed some of his cum on one of my nipples, and we both watched my body reacting to his touch, blooming into goosebumps, my nipples pebbling like little rocks.
Pity I can't keep you,
he said around his cancer stick. Who said I want to be kept? He put his palm on my cheek and squeezed. A sad look in his eyes.
Who said you had a choice?
Chapter 19. Alex.
Congratulations, Egypt! Jenna is officially going to kill you!
Blake slammed me to the door the minute I stepped into our room. Even before I got in, I had a feeling I should have stayed at Indy's and burrowed into her scent and heat and sweet, innocent existence. The ship with Blake and Jenna was getting old. Like it wasn't enough my soul had been gangbanged by a bunch of suits on a daily basis, I also had to answer to them every time I fucked up on stage. I would say that Blake and Jenna acted like my mum and dad. But truth was, my parents didn't give a shit. And my manager and agent mostly gave a shit about their paychecks. Waitrose had it coming. I pushed Blake away. His back bumped into the opposite wall, his eyes narrowing, honing in on me like I was a moving target.
Just tell him you like her, Alex. Is that really so hard? Instead of making grand announcements about how she's yours and you're the king of the world, you're starting to sound like Mussolini on steroids. Why is it so important that I tell anyone I like her?
I fumed, galloping toward the minibar and yanking out a bag of crisps. Holy crap, I was hungry. I'd come so hard, I'm pretty sure Indy had swallowed enough little Alexes to form an army.
Plus, I don't like her, I maintained.
Actually, that was a lie. But as I'd said before, lying was second nature. Or a first one. Whatever.
It's important for us to know that your sobriety companion meets your expectations.
Blake cleared his throat and added quickly.
To Jenna and me, that is.
I stared at him like he just informed me he was going through a pickle transplant to replace his cock, my crisp midair on its way to my mouth. I threw the crisp into my gob and chewed loudly, trying to figure out his game. It was unlike him to focus on Indy. Instead of the fact I'd walked off stage mid-gig after slamming my foot in the drum kit.
Are you high? Are you sleeping with her?
He asked simultaneously.
That's none of your business. Even if I were, she signed an NDA. That's not why I'm asking.
I blinked. He'd never given a damn about any of my babysitters. Then again, I'd never gotten close to a girl after what had happened with fucking Fallon. Blake leaned over the kitchen nook, running his fingers along his hair, looking skyward. Then he did that big, dramatic sigh, the one I got every time he threw himself a pity party.
The Halloween event in Paris. We need to be there. Fallon and Will are attending,
he said, his words slow and careful, like he was dripping gasoline into an invisible fuse in my head while I was smoking. I gave him a flat look. I felt like Rob from High Fidelity, sans the love for pop music. Basically, I was a loser, and everyone pitied me, even though I pitied them too.
And? And I don't want you to do anything stupid, like trying to win her back. I won't.
I scratched the back of my neck. Was it a lie? Maybe. When you lie so much, it's difficult to distinguish the truth. In retrospect, Paris would be the night when my life changed forever. Indy's too, and Fallon's the most. But of course, I didn't know that when I stared deep into Blake's eyes.
Beat, 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 beat. Okay, Blake said, withdrawing from the nook and walking to the bathroom.
It was then I noticed he still hadn't changed from tonight's show.
All right.
I watched his back, trying to figure out what had just happened.
What just fucking happened?
In the end, it was more of the same. Blake gave me shit about the incident at the gig for days afterward. Jenna highlighted that sentiment by sending me a basket of baklavas when we landed in Istanbul with a note.
I dare you to pull something like this again, Alex. No, really. Try me.
I played nice with Lucas, but found other ways to taunt him, mainly by devouring indigo every spare moment I had in public. We wrote every night in the hallway so we could concentrate on work. Then I'd sneak into her bedroom and eat her out on the balcony overlooking Athens, or finger her in a cab on our way back from a gig in Berlin, dry hump her against the wall behind a coffee shop in Milan, and eat exotic fruit off of her naked body in Barcelona. She always had that look on her face when I made her come, like the intensity of what we were doing stunned her. It was like deflowering her every single day,
even though we hadn't actually had sex. Yet. Yet. But we were getting closer every day. Plus, she'd finally taken a step back from Lucas, and he, in return, remained polite and pleasant to her, not overstepping the red imaginary line I'd drawn between them. Luckily, she didn't bore me despite Waitrose's lack of interest in her. It was probably the fact I hadn't shagged her yet. Though, let's be honest, it's not exactly like I was charming her into a fucking Shakespearean love story. I was certain a big part of the reason why Stardust could stand the sight of me was because, the morning after the Moscow gig, Howard Lipkin, one of the biggest attorneys in Los Angeles, had bailed her brother out and dragged him back home to his wife and kid. Craig was on house arrest, and that made Indy feel pathetically content, like he couldn't possibly fuck up from the comfort of his home. Which, from experience, was bollocks, because both my parents were unemployed and had managed to damage Carly and me just fine, even though their asses were forever glued to the sofa, watching EastEnders and Jeremy Kyle in the afternoon. Is there ever anything more depressing than watching daytime TV? I thought not, and I still do. Barcelona was our last stop before we took a week off in London. Technically, I had a gig at the Cambridge Castle on Friday, but that was the extent of it, and the Cambridge Castle was my home field. Barcelona was a turning point. It was a turning point because it was the place where I stupidly thought it'd be a good idea to walk into a British hipster coffee shop and grab some black coffee and English breakfast for my entourage. Should have known nothing good ever comes out of trying to be considerate. Indy was up in her room, probably sewing the Paris dress. Blake was loitering outside the shop on his goddamn mobile. With my beanie, wayfarers and head down, I knew I wouldn't be recognized. It was the kind of place that would play Nazi propaganda before playing someone who managed to break onto the Billboard list, so I doubted they'd even recognize me. I was Satan to them. Suits Satan. I took in the deep blue and pale pink tiles of the shop. The people in flashy blazers and thick-framed glasses, and women in trendy petticoats. The breeziness of their lives. They looked so grounded, like they had the virtue of gravity working in their favor. Me, I felt loose, tied to nothing. Not to people and not to objects, other than Tanya. I just floated through life, and the worst part was, drugs and alcohol had actually been one of the only constant things in my life. I stood in the queue. No one recognized me. It was a relief, caked with worry. There was always a gnawing anxiety that nibbled at my ego whenever people overlooked me. Was I still big? Was I still famous? Was I still worth it? Was my career going downhill? Cue to wanting to throw up my own soul for giving a fuck. The queue was dragging. That was fine. I didn't have anywhere to go. I thought about Indy, how we only hooked up at night. During the day, I acted like I couldn't be bothered with her, and she acted like I exasperated her. It was only at night when we peeled our masks and our clothes off that life became bearable. There was a row of flat-screen TVs plastered above the counter. One had the menu, the other played the show Gossip Cave. Menu, Gossip Cave. Menu, Gossip Cave. Bright colors and bold fonts. Showbiz programs are like junk food, so beautifully wrapped. The volume was quite high, and my eyes drifted up despite my best efforts. A bunch of millennials and a gay bloke in his mid-40s were swiveling on neon chairs in their cubicle-style, ultra-futuristic office. The floor-to-ceiling window behind them exhibiting L.A. in all its Botoxed glory. They were talking so animatedly, you'd think they were discussing the Middle East conflict. "Do you think there's going to be a showdown?" The older man in the polo shirt and impeccably styled hair rested his elbows on top of some guy's chair. All the reporters and editors nodded enthusiastically.
"Oh, absolutely!"
a blonde, malnourished girl exclaimed.
"There's no way around that. Alex Winslow is unhinged. I mean, he's definitely cooking something delicious, what with the snippets from his Letters from the Dead tour.
She clapped her hands together excitedly, brushing her tongue over her glossed lips in a way that was calculated and overtly trying, and not at all like Stardust's nervous gnawing.
But Winslow is still every inch of the reckless rock star we know. Like 2 weeks ago, when he attacked his drummer, he's definitely going to let Will Bushell and Fallon Langford know how he feels about them.
Apparently, he didn't attack the drummer. There were severe sound issues, and he was just frustrated. He was later photographed hugging Lucas Rafferty outside the hotel. A guy chipped in. Right. About that. That had been Blake putting out one of the many fires I'd created. There were no sound issues, though I'm sure someone got fired for the non-existing one Blake reported, and the embrace I'd given Lucas outside our Berlin hotel had almost snapped his neck.
Either way, will they even meet? I mean, chances are they won't.
A brunette girl with bold red lipstick picked dirt from under her acrylic nails. They're all going to be at Chateau de Malmaison's Halloween event in Paris. The older man snapped his fingers. Someone tapped my shoulder, and I realized the queue had progressed, but I'd stayed rooted to the floor. I took a few steps forward, my eyes still glued to the screen. There was something cathartic about the pain coursing through me. It made me feel so human, so vulnerable.
There'll be no media at the event, and they'll all wear masks.
The blonde girl sounded disappointed. At least someone still got a mental hard-on for my personal life. Shame it wasn't me.
Mask or not, Will and Fallon owe Alex an explanation, don't you think? Their engagement came as a surprise to everyone.
For a second, I was in purgatory between my life the second before I'd heard it, and my life after.
Engagement. In fucking engagement.
I sucked in a slow breath. Fucking Fallon was the hottest mess Hollywood had had the displeasure of producing in this decade, and Will was happily married to his work. What business did they have getting married? The preparations for the wedding have been going on for weeks now. Do you think they'll invite him?
Weeks?
They'd been engaged for weeks and no one had told me. Then it dawned on me like hail. Trickling down at first, then all at once, pouring down on my fucking parade. No internet. No social media. Stay away from the laptop. Channels in my hotel rooms hooked on news and porn and nothing else because of Cockgate. Blake had created Cockgate. My jaw locked so hard my teeth meshed into dust. He'd do whatever he needed to divert the scandal from. British rock star loses his shit and goes on a 3-week bender consuming every single gram of cocaine in Europe. To British rock star fucks a random starlet and leaves her a souvenir. My blood boiled, and I made a U-turn, pushing the door open and storming out. Blake was still on his mobile. He had one eye on me, like I was going to drink myself to death in a coffee shop in the middle of Barcelona. I motioned for him to follow me up to our hotel with my hand, and he did, the device still cemented to his ear.
All right, gotta go. Talk later. Bye.
We got in, into the lobby, into the lift. I was sick and tired of Blake and Jenna pulling shit like this. I had a babysitter. I was not allowed on the internet, and every time I acted in a way that didn't suit them, they dumped the blame on other people and bark at me, like in Moscow. Not to mention I suspected he put my fucking dick on the internet. Yeah, enough was e-fucking-nuff.
What crawled up your ass?
Blake's defiant eyes dragged to meet mine when we were in the lift, and I had to tell myself, not now. When we get to the room... When we get to the fucking room, which only served to make every second tick like a year. The minute the door behind us clicked shut, I grabbed a vase and threw it across the wall. I wanted to scream, but this time we didn't have the entire floor for my entourage.
How long have you known about Will and Fallon? Don't lie.
I wasn't a bad man. I knew that. I paid my taxes. I always made sure my sexual partner orgasmed before I kicked her out. I took care of my family and mates, even when they let me down. So this didn't make any sense.
How did you?
He gulped, widening the loop of his tie like it tightened around his neck.
What? They have fucking TVs in Spain! That's how!
My voice hitched up, the control I'd clung to seeping slowly out of me. I looked aside. I needed air. I didn't have air. Not in the physical, but fucking spiritual sense. I always had someone babying me. I could drag Indy from her room and have her accompany me, but I didn't want to do it. As it was, she was overworked and dealing with personal bullshit. Thus, I needed to be alone. Bollocks.
Bollocks! Look, I can explain.
Blake held his palms in the air in surrender. How many times had I seen him in this position? One too many. That was the exact number, and I was sick and tired of it. I pushed him, bloodthirsty for a fight. The more I had money and power and fame, the less I had freedom and happiness and the ability to be me. And the person I'd become was imperfect. He occasionally fucked things up, including his drummer's kit. The person I was wanted the truth. The person I was, I am, I always will be, couldn't settle for the life he had. A life where I worked for so many people, Jenna, Blake, my former publicist, and the only thing that kept the illusion of control was the fact I'd taken the biggest slice of the pie. A pie I was no longer hungry for. I didn't need guardians, and babysitters, and people who leaked pictures of my dick on the internet. I needed to get out of there. Now! I made my way to the door before my fist could make its way to Blake's face. My manager panicked and grabbed my wrist to turn me around. What the hell did he think he was doing? The minute I swiveled and he saw the look on my face, his eyebrows popped.
I did it for your own good, Alex. Fuck you!
I spat, shaking his touch off me.
You don't get to pretend it's even half true after everything you've done! Where are you going? Doesn't matter. Wherever it is, no one's coming with me. Not Indy, and definitely not you.
The minute I said these words, I realized it was a demand I'd been afraid to make months ago. Sure, I'd bullied my past babysitters and taunted Indy, but I'd never put my foot down. I'd never said no. Until now.
Alex!
He jumped in front of me, blocking my way to the door.
I'm afraid if you leave now, you'll make a huge mistake. If a punch in the face is what I need to tolerate to keep you sober, I'll take one for the team.
I threw my head back, shaking it on a bitter chuckle.
Aren't you a goddamn saint?
I shot him a serious look.
Out of my way! Alex! Now!
I grabbed the first thing I could get my hands on and swung it in his face with force. He tripped sideways to prevent the hit. Tanya crashed with force against the door, chipped wood flying everywhere from the thump. She broke into two pieces, leaving me standing there, choking the neck of my guitar while the rest of her was lying on the floor. She lay under me like a dead lover. Beautiful and broken and no longer mine. She was all the diaries crammed into one object. The empty box that was full of tunes and lyrics. She was the most special, important gift I'd ever received, and the only possession I actually cared about. And she was gone. Tears pooled in my eyes, and I squinted to prevent them from falling. When was the last time I'd cried? Never. I mean, I'm sure I did. Who hadn't? But it was so long ago, I couldn't imagine it was after I hit 13. So, there was that. I was crying. I was fucking crying. Blake was standing behind me, his pulse so fast I could hear it thrumming in my ears. He wanted to offer an apology, but knew better than to speak. I'd kill him. Shit. Tanya. Shit. I don't think my world had ever been so silent as it was in the moment I stepped out of the room. Indigo stepped out of hers at the same time, like she could sense me. When I looked at her face, all I saw was another mouth I needed to feed. I bypassed her. She stood there, barefoot, with that Paris dress she always worked on clutched in her hand.
Alex? What happened?
Whoever is stupid enough to follow me will get fired on the spot, I said coolly, then left. I wandered around the streets, alone. It was reckless and stupid, and kind of cool. I bought a pack of cigs and finished them as I walked. I thought about everything, about Will and Fallon, who were on the same continent, probably not many miles away, about their wedding. I thought about my life and what it had become, about my mates or the people I referred to as such, of Blake, who pulled no punches to further his career and mine, of Alfie, who was oblivious to anything other than his dick's desires, and about Lucas, who tried to seduce Indigo. Then I thought about Stardust, about the way she'd made me feel, like I was living in a semi-normal universe, where I didn't have to worry the girl I was shagging would sell our sex tape to the sun, or lure me into buying her something expensive. She was, perhaps, the only real thing I had in my life. And that was utterly pathetic, seeing as she was my employee, and only on tour because I paid her to save me. But I'd saved her too, hadn't I? In the only way I truly mattered. With my money. It was only when I strolled back to the hotel that it occurred to me what my heartbreak was really about. Tanya, Blake, Alfie, Lucas. The list wasn't short, but it was telling. There was one thing omitted from it. Two, actually. And those were the things I should have considered the most. Will and Fallon. They made me feel nothing. And that, somehow, made me feel everything.
Chapter 20. Indy. Jenna Holden added Hudson Diaz to the conversation. Hudson.
No longer on your period, Jenna?
Jenna. You can say that again. Indy, how are things? Indy. I hate your client, Jenna, and your boss, Hudson. Jenna. What has he done? Indy, is Fallon really all that amazing? Hudson,
she's pretty the way the Eurovision is. Fascinating, but ultimately makes you want to puke. Why?
Indy, Alex found out she's engaged to Will. He was not happy. We can't find him. Jenna,
question mark, question mark, question mark?
Jenna, elaborate. Indy, Blake is roaming the streets along with Alfie and Lucas. They asked me to stay in the hotel in case he shows up. Jenna, keep us posted. I don't need this right now with everything that's going on. Hudson,
what is going on?
Jenna, doesn't matter. Hudson,
tell me, Indy, is Alex still mad at Luke?
Indy, very much so. Why? Hudson,
oh, no reason. If you ever get to it, tell Lucas he's a jerk. He'll know why.
Unattainable. Cold. Disturbed. I knew that. I wasn't, after all, stupid. But maybe that was what drew me to Alex. He was categorically unreachable. He would never give me his heart or future or even the greater chunk of his presence. But he still gave me something. Some fuel to run on as I knitted together patches full of stupid dreams and idealistic ideas about us. And I did. I absolutely did. Despite my best efforts and what I so often told myself, I wanted Alex in more ways than he wanted me. It was very easy to figure out, actually. Every time we touched, it was always in my room, always in the dark, always on his terms. I was his little doll,
The one he'd bend over and finger under the dinner table, his fingers ascending up my underskirt, meeting my wet flesh and playing with me while he was engrossed in a conversation about record labels with Alfie at the hotel ballroom. I was the just-for-funsies girl he'd pinned to the bed. Arms above my head, always, legs spread wide, and kiss until I begged and panted and made a fool of myself. I was now the girl I'd always detested. The one who took something, even though she wanted everything, because in the end, she settled for less. I tried to convince myself I was after the desire and not the desired. That he was just a tool, and that with time and space and distance, I'd forget about him. I'd realized how wrong I was when I stood in the hallway, the Paris dress clutched to my chest. I'd been about to walk over to Alex's room and ask if they had an extra pair of scissors since I couldn't find mine. He stormed down the hallway, taking the stairs, not the elevator, despite the fact we were on the 20th floor. His door was still open, and his scent was everywhere in the hallway, so different and masculine and uniquely his. Blake looked back at me from the threshold. I quirked one eyebrow, silently asking him to explain. Alex's eyes shone, and the pain etched on his face couldn't be mistaken. It was there, and it was raw.
"You found out about Fallon and Will's engagement."
I pulled my lower lip into my mouth with my teeth, my eyes widening. The dull pain in my chest intensified. For him, for me, maybe even for Blake, the notion that this was over, that we were over, took over me. Maybe we'd reached a boiling point. Maybe we were done. I spent the remainder of the day in my hotel room, watching TV. I'd Skyped with Natasha, Craig, and Ziggy. Craig couldn't leave the house, and Natasha wouldn't bring him any booze, which prompted him to stay reluctantly sober. It wasn't fun to watch him moping around, but I hadn't seen him look so healthy in years. His cheeks had a natural pink hue again, and his skin looked smoother. The bags under his eyes were less prominent, and he was functioning. Ish. Yet I didn't find myself happy about it. "Craig, go fix Ziggy his dinner. There's mashed potatoes and chicken in the fridge," Nat said that day. I smiled tiredly at that. They could afford chicken. I was glad, despite everything, that I was still touring with Alex. Whoever had said money can't buy happiness was never truly poor. Money could buy happiness, but that doesn't mean you need too much of it. When Craig and Ziggy were out of earshot, Nat took the extra step and grabbed the laptop, jogging to her bedroom and shutting the door behind her. She jumped on the bed and fixed the monitor so she could see me better. "What's going on?" she whispered. "Tell me everything. And there are things to tell, I bet. There was a paparazzi picture of you guys in Greece. It looked like Alex was half-hugging you, half-grabbing your ass." Oh, shit. I mentally browsed through everything that had gone down in Athens. The guys had wanted to go sightseeing, and I'd had to watch Alex extra carefully, because apparently he used to party in London with some drug dealer who'd moved to Greece, and Blake was on edge about it. I'd worn a polka-dot blue dress and a scarlet smile that day. The weather had been glorious. We'd admired the ancient ruins with a bunch of starstruck tourists from Japan and Germany, taking pictures of the Parthenon, when Alex had slid his hand over my butt when everyone else was walking ahead of us, listening to the tour guide, and pressed his mouth to my ear. The Parthenon was the temple they'd built for their goddess Athena, the tour guide explained. Athena was the symbol of arts and freedom.
"Two things you remind me of."
Alex's lips had dragged to my neck, his voice gruff with cigarette and lust.
"But tonight, darling, you'll be the one to call me God."
He dropped the G in darling for me. That's corny as hell.
"I like corn. Corn is good, and we're so hot we could make popcorn."
"Jesus, Alex," I'd laughed.
"See, I haven't even touched you properly, and you're already half religious."
I'd been so happy at that moment, which only reminded me how unhappy I was now when my face heated and Nat's smile widened. "Holy hell, Indy, you're sleeping with a rock star. My inner slut is cheering for you, or should I say my former slut? I think I'm still her. I'm just reining in on that shit since I'm married and have a kid and all." Another arrow of sorrow shot to my heart. Nat deserved so much more than Craig was giving her. Had she brought the subject up a few hours ago, I might have felt braver, safer, like it didn't matter at all that Alex was looking forward to Paris so he could pursue his former flame. It's not like that. I pulled a lock of my blue hair and fingered the ends, my eyes concentrating hard on them instead of on my sister-in-law. What's it like, then? I heard her grin. It's really casual. He's still in love with his ex. And that bothers you? Of course not. So why the long face? Because I'm a liar, just like him? I should probably end it, I said aloud, making the idea real and scary. Not that I was in love with him or even needed him, but he was the one thing in my life that made me feel good, and the list of things that made me feel that way wasn't very long. Maybe you should, but you definitely won't, Nat said, and I looked up to see her expression, which turned from amused to worried. Remember, Indy, 3 months. Enjoy what's there and leave it at that. Easier said than done. I changed the subject, and we ended up talking about other things. About Clara from Thrifty, who'd been calling Nat and asking about me. Then about Ziggy's new obsession with pulling his pants down, which Natasha was very happy about, because she thought it had meant he was ready to be potty trained. After that, I ordered room service. Philly cheesesteak and fries. Not exactly authentic Spanish cuisine, but I was desperate to feel like I was back on U.S. soil, even for a little while. I was drawing figures on the plate with a French fry and ketchup when he pounded on my door. I didn't need to open it to know who it was. Alex was always minutes away from crashing the door down with his force. I ignored the knocks for the first 10 minutes, but after that knew I was entering a dangerous territory. If he was drunk or drugged up, two ideas that weren't far-fetched, seeing as he'd disappeared for hours on his own, I needed to deal with that. No matter how hurt I'd felt, this was still a job and one that paid well. Well enough, in fact, to get Ziggy the tubes he needed in his ears. He had a consultation appointment next week. Plus, I wanted to put Craig in rehab and get Nat's car running so she didn't have to take 3 buses on her way to her temporary job. That meant that no matter how foolishly angry I'd felt about Alex being devastated about Fallon's engagement, I had to swallow my pride. But that didn't mean I'd humor him anymore when it came to us. I walked to the door and swung it open. He stood in front of me, his white V-neck crumpled and wrinkled, his black skinny jeans and impossible height both familiar and imposing. He smelled of cigarettes and the fresh bite of the cool evening air. He looked sober and miserable and extremely huggable. I folded my arms over my chest to keep myself from reaching toward him, staring up into his amber eyes with the green and gold flakes that swam in circles like a gold pond. I'm so happy I didn't sleep with you. If I had, I wouldn't be able to stop myself from giving you everything you came here for tonight.
Can I come in?
His eyes looked wrecked, bloodshot. I should say no. I knew he'd pour his heart out, and once he did, I wouldn't deny him of anything in this world. He made me weak and exposed, and that alone should make me run for the hills. I stood there wordlessly, not quite ready to say no, but not stupid enough to say yes.
Please.
He saw the hesitation on my face, but his voice was hard and coarse. Leave it to Alex Winslow to ask for something nicely one time in his life and still make it sound like a demand.
I need to talk.
Talk to someone else. You have plenty of friends. He snorted, rolling his eyes to the ceiling. From that angle, I could see the dark circles under his eyes.
Some friends they are.
Not my problem, I said quietly, hating myself for every word. He'd been cruel to me, but that didn't mean I had to be cruel back. There's strength in choosing kindness, even when you're being dragged into the well of malice. I'd never been this way, and yet I couldn't stop myself. I was angry, angrier than sympathetic. He knitted his brows and stared me down. I watched as his eyes turned in slow motion from exasperated and sad to dark and interested.
The fuck happened to you?
You happened to me. Unfortunately, I was about to shut the door. He was sober, my job was done, but he slipped his arm through the crack and stopped me. I was about to slam it anyway when he said,
"I'd reconsider if I were you. This arm is insured for $20 million. If I can't play my guitar, a lot of people will be upset. All of those people you don't want to piss off."
Feeling lava bubbling in my chest, I kept the crack open, painfully aware of how his finger brushed the strap of my dress up my shoulder.
"Why are you mad?"
His thumb rode up to my neck, to my pulse that quickened by the nanosecond. The change in mood confused me, and that's exactly how he liked me. "I'm not mad." A chuckle died in my throat. He pushed the door open all the way and sauntered in like he owned the place, doing his usual inspection. Alex liked to look and examine everything, like I was hiding dozens of dead bodies in my room.
"You are. You're looking at me like I ran over your pet cockatoo."
"I don't have a pet cockatoo."
"Yeah, don't. They're a lot of work. Fallon had one."
Fallon. Her name on his lips sounded like a profanity. "I just don't see why you'd even come here. You're upset about Will and Fallon's engagement. You should be dealing with it either by talking to them or with someone who can help you. I definitely can't." He walked toward me, making me walk backward to avoid his touch. He wasn't slow or particularly predatory, just nonchalant. When my back hit the dresser behind me, I finally exhaled some of my rage. He just stood there and didn't say anything. Needless to say, that annoyed me. "Say something," I growled. His eyes tapered into slits.
"You knew."
He meant the engagement. "I did," I admitted, without missing a heartbeat. "Blake said you'd go on a bender if you found out. My job is to keep you sober. You are a job, Alex." I reminded myself more than to him. He pondered my words, rolling a lock of icy blue hair between his fingers. Any trace of his sadness was gone from his face now, replaced with quiet, burning desire. One that runs deep and doesn't end in your lower stomach, but buzzes all the way down your toes, kissing every nerve in the process.
"That is cold,"
he said, his fingers sliding down my shoulder again, warm and rough and so calloused, slipping the strap of my swing dress back down.
"Especially for someone so warm. You really hate me, don't you?"
"I don't hate you," I swallowed. A truth for a truth. Would he give me one, too? "Do you care about me at all?"
"Yes,"
he admitted evenly without blinking, no trace of emotion on his voice.
"I care about you."
"Then let me go. Let me work here and stop this... What were we? What the hell were we? It felt like more than a fling, but less than dating. This thing between us... You're in love with someone else."
"No,"
he said, in the exact level tone, his body crowding mine further and further until the handles of the dresser dug into my lower back. Our limbs were entwined, but other than that, I had no excuse to the way my body reacted, like it wanted to dance and fling itself off a cliff. "Why?" I breathed.
"You need this. We need this. Today wasn't about Fallon. The engagement came as a surprise, sure, but it wasn't what made me lose my shit. My mates taking every ounce of power and freedom from me did."
Pause. Beat. Swallow.
"I accidentally broke Tanya."
My stomach flipped, a shiver running down my spine. He killed Tanya. His turtle's back. Tanya inspired him, protected him, was there for him... My mouth fell open. "How?"
"I went mental on Blake for leaking those dick photos, for hiding so much from me. I didn't even realize what I'd done. I just grabbed the first thing in reach and swung it his way. It hit the door. Remember this next sentence, Stardust, for it's important and a rare fucking truth. I'm not upset about Fallon. Granted, I'm not happy about it either, but today wasn't about her. It was about my fucked up life and my fucked up mates and the fucked up way I mixed business and pleasure like a rookie. Well, I no longer know who's there for the money and who's there because they care. And it gets worse. If I could know, I'd still choose not to, because it'd hurt like a bitch. The stupid, overrated truth.
Something moved between us. Some kind of silent understanding. Alex was a liar because he hated his truth. But he was there in front of me, his face so naked and raw. And at that moment, I didn't care that he'd break me just the way he had Tanya. We needed each other, now, on this tour, like air and oxygen and the pulse beneath our flesh. For once, I understood what he'd meant about being above gravity. There was a world outside, I knew it, but there was a smaller asteroid on which we lived, and that was the only place I wanted to be in that moment. Silence. 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 Music. It came from somewhere downstairs. A street party, I think. As soon as it started, our lips crashed together and we wrestled each other out of our clothes.